Thank you, Sister Williamson. We're going to get set up down here. Forward a little bit. It looks like there's plenty of room up here. I found out I was teaching, I started to stay home. So my wife said, won't nobody be there tonight if you're teaching. I said, oh well. Thank you for that song. Makes me think of my daddy. Nothing's too hard for God. Last week in our message, and I know I told you I'm a little abrasive sometimes, and I don't really mean to be. It just works out that way. But I was raised by a man that was extremely good to me, but extremely mean to the world. He was a very mean man. I told you last week that in his drinking and all that he did, he didn't do it around his children. But from time to time, there would be somebody would come to the house in a squad car. And I lived in Virginia, so it'd be like six or seven highway patrolmen. They're all like 6 foot tall, 240 pounds back then, or you couldn't get on the force unless you weighed at least 200. And they wouldn't come to my house unless there was at least six of them. That's how mean my daddy was. And they tried to put his brother in the squad car one night, and they called him. They called him Bunky. They called the house and asked Bunky if he would come down there. Six of them could not put him in the car. The only way they, and he told them flat out, the only way you're going to put me in that car is shoot me. And he told my daddy when he got down there, he said, Bunky, if they put me in that car, they're going to beat me between here and that police station. He said, but all of them together ain't big enough to beat me standing out here. And he was, and that was true. They was mean as rattlesnakes. But I grew up in that, and I just praise God that nothing's too hard for him. Because as a little child, 12 years old, I got saved. And I'm going to tell you about that in a minute. But before I do, I brought two books down here with me. One of them says, Things That Are Different Are Not the Same. Amen. You might have heard about that book. My pastor wrote that book. And then I got another book, Trophy of Grace, by Dr. Carter. I don't know if you've ever read this book, but you need to read it. Every now and then, when things get to bother me a little bit, I'll pull one of those books out, and mainly this Trophy of Grace, and I'll read this book. And it's so encouraging to me. I remember when I first started school here, I'm going to tell you a little story about that right quick. And then we'll get into the word here. But when I first went to college here, I come up to talk to Pastor. The Lord had been tugging on my heart for some time, and I came up here to talk to him about it. And I just basically want to get an idea of what was going on. So I spoke with him, and I read that in your book today about what your preacher told you. And that's exactly what you told me. When I got home, my wife says, well, what did he say? What happened? I said, I don't know, but I think I'm in college. I went up here just to speak to him a little bit to figure out what was going on, and he had me signed up in college full time. Now, you got to remember, I worked. I run a business. So what did I do? I went to college full time, amen? This is what happened. I thought to myself, if my preacher's got that much faith in my God, how can I not step out in that same faith? So that's what I did. And turned out pretty well. You know, you're always worried about finances. You're worried about bills. And, you know, we get so tied up in the world that we're in that we forget how big our God is. And there's nothing too big for our God. But I can honestly say, since that day, I've never been happier. Every day, I grow a little happier in the Lord. And that is why when I was teaching last Wednesday night, the things that I brought up to you, your parents about your children, it's for that exact reason. I got saved when I was 12 years old. And yet, my wife, she got saved when she was probably around 12 or 13, somewhere in that area. And then she got saved when she was 14, and then again when she was 15. And so she got saved regularly until she finally got it right. But you know, all the time, all these years that I went, that I was saved, I was a Christian. I claimed to be a Christian, but I didn't live as a Christian. And folks, you know, coming to church on Sunday morning is good, but it doesn't make you a Christian. You come to church on Sunday night and Wednesday night, and you come to a few things, maybe go to camp or volunteer to do a few things. Those things don't make you a Christian. Praise God, when I was 12 years old, I got saved. You know, just like my daddy, after I got saved at 12 years old, my daddy come to see me baptized. And the preacher preached that night, my daddy got saved. Amen. That's how good our God is. So folks, when I was talking about your children, I'm talking about the things that we need to do as parents. We need to do these things because God commands us to do them. And there's a reason that he commands us to do these things. If we don't, we'll walk through life like I did. I walked through life for years being a Christian, but I really saved, but I was never really a Christian. But once I began school, once God began to tug in my heart, and I got to the point I just had to surrender to preach. I had bought a computer. Matter of fact, I bought two computers. And this was 15 years ago. I still have them. I still use the same ones. I'm tightwad. I didn't want to get rid of them, you know. As long as they're working, I'll use them. But when I bought those computers, I couldn't even turn it on. And when I started school here, that's when I learned how to turn it on. But now, I had no idea why I bought those computers, but they was on sale, and I didn't have one, so I bought them. I bought two of them. Well, 2 years later, I found out why. And naturally, I couldn't type. I didn't take typing in school. I couldn't type a lick. So in class, I had to write all my notes by hand. Brother Bracellus probably remember that. I was sitting in class and pencil everything down. And where I could, I'd carry a recorder with me. Because sometimes you just can't write it all down fast enough, especially when you're writing with pencil or pen. So I carried a recorder, and I would record those classes. And then all your notes, especially in Dr. Pitts. Well, God bless you. In Dr. Pitts' class, you had to turn in all your notes typed. So that was going to take me the rest of the semester, like this. My wife says, well, I'll type them for you. No, 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 no. It's my responsibility. I'll do it. So every night when I got out of school, I'd go to work, come home at dark, and I'd sit down at my little desk, and I'd take those notes, and I'd start typing. And that's the way I typed, just like that, one at a time, for all my classes. I was going full time. So it might be 3 o'clock in the morning before I got through typing. And then, of course, those of you who've been to Dr. Pitts' class knows that you have memory verses. So it's 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, you get up at 6, get ready to go to school, right? So when I go to take my shower, I would beg God, Lord, I am so tired. And I would just read that verse, and I'd go to bed, and I'd wake up in the morning, and I would recite these verses going to sleep at night. And I'd wake up in the morning, and I would know those verses. And I'm like, bless God, I wish I could just remember them now, you know? Keep remembering them. But I would remember those verses, and that's how I got through my school year. And by the time I was a junior, I took my computer with me to school. And I would sit there at my desk, and Brother Morgan's son was with me. He'd sit right beside me. And what I would do is I would type as fast as I could. And I had gotten, still don't type correctly, but I could type pretty decent. And then I would look over at his and get what I missed. You know, so he'd always sit with me. And he'd laugh because sometimes I'm dyslexic. So when I'm typing, sometimes the word's backwards. Or the whole sentence might be flipped. And he'd just laugh. And I'd say, what's wrong, brother? And he's nothing. But you know, I'd get them all straightened out. You know, I'd get it all fixed. But by the time I was a senior, I could take my computer to school and keep my notes on my computer. So God's good. God can do anything. So my whole point last week was just because I grew up in that environment, God was still able to reach me and get me saved. And my father, being the way he was, still had godly values that he didn't even understand or know that he had. You know, when God created Adam in the garden, he breathed into him what? The breath of life. And we're all born with that. Every single one of us is born with that. So no matter what we think, even the heathen that thinks there is no God, without God's Spirit, there's no life. So we all have that. But it's so important that we as parents understand our role. That it's not just going through the motions. Just like I told you last week, there's more, just like Pastor Carter always said, there's more that's caught than taught. Your children are watching you 24/7. And you can say, and you can sit there and amen and go through all the motions. But when you get home, if you live outside, if you're not living as a Christian, then your children, that's what they see. And that is what's real to them because they see that that's what's real to you. And the reason I brought that up, you know, Pastor Carter get up here and tell you about all these stories and stuff. And I can't tell you about his stories or your stories. And I have very few of my own. So I have to tell you by my experiences. And I can look back at my children and the things that I've learned since I've been in college. And as you, this is when you become a Christian. And this is when you begin to learn something from God. It's when you begin to seek it. When you start searching the scriptures for yourself. You come in here and hear all the preaching you want to hear. But until you get into this book and start putting it in your heart and in your mind, that is when you'll begin to learn. And folks, that is what you need so that you can teach that to your children. And that's what they need to see in you. And I can tell you that because I can look back at my sons and I see things that I did not do. I mean, I wasn't a bad father, but I wasn't a Christian father. I didn't spiritually teach them the things that they needed to know to be prepared to go into the world. Now, I don't know. I know most of y'all got Facebook. You turn it on today, and what do you see on there? You see an Antichrist spirit, don't you? Have you ever seen so much hatred for Jesus? The world hates Jesus. And in their own ignorance, they do not understand that they hate God because Jesus is God. And I'm afraid sometimes, I feel like we forget that sometimes. You know, we're not just talking about Jesus. We're talking about King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We're talking about the Almighty. And when we get our lives into the proper perspective and we begin to live for Him, then our children will see that in us. I can't back up. I can't go backwards, rewind, and put my children back in my household and start over. I can't. I wished I could, but I can't. But those of you who have young children, it's never too late. You need, you know, if you haven't been living that life, this is what you need to do. You need to sit down with your children and have a serious talk about where you've been wrong and where your guidance has been misleading and that you need as a family to get on the right path following our God according to what this book states that we ought to do. That's the best place for you to start because that way it's real to your children. Or either that or you can be hypocritical. Tell them where they're messing up and leave yourself out of the equation. See, my sons messed up where I fell short, where I didn't do that in which I was commanded to do. We looked at Deuteronomy last week. It shows us what we're supposed to do. We should be waking up in the morning with God's in our hearts and on our tongues. We should be going through the day the same way. We should be going through the nights when we lay down. It should be laying down with a prayer to our dear God. That's where we ought to be every day of our life. And that's what our children should be seeing. Because when they go out into the world, they see the opposite. And unfortunately, we live in the Laodicean church age. We can't change that. But we don't have to be part of that Laodicean church. We have a choice. Each one of us individually have a choice as to where we're going to live our lives. Now, we can choose to live in the Laodicean church age if we wish. But then when we see all these things that we see on the television, the first thing we do is blame the liberals. Well, let's wind the clock back. See, we go all the way back to where when we came to America, the majority that came here were Christian. They came here to start new lives. They came here to worship their God in the proper way. And they wanted to do that freely. So what happened between there and here? See, a lot of daddies didn't teach their children the way they ought to go. And they go astray. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of Christian homes that has lost children. That's sad. It's sad to think that you come to church every day, every Sunday, and that there's somebody in your home that's lost and on their way to hell. That's a sad place to be. But that's where we're at today. So many families. And I've asked people, I'll ask them point blank, is your son saved? When they start complaining, is your son saved? Well, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? How do you not know? This is a child that you claim that you love, but you don't love them enough to know whether or not they're lost or saved. If you don't discipline your child, do you really love your child? I mean, honestly, are you going to let your child play in the highway? No. So why do you let them play in the world the way they do? Discipline your children accordingly to Scripture. Do exactly what God tells you to do. One thing about it, if things go wrong, you've done your part. You did that in which God had told you to do. That's all you can do. Do the best you can do. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to do all what? As unto the Lord. That includes raising children. And when I think about a lot of I've fallen short in a lot of areas. Dr. Bradley used to tell you, when you was in school, if you teach and preach on your own faults, you'll never run out of anything to preach. And that's the truth. Because I can look back at my life and I see a lot of shortfalls. A lot of things that I could have done differently that would have made differences in other people's lives. And as a Christian, you never know whose life you can change just by being a Christian today. And let me explain that to you, just by having the Christian attitude. Because let's face it, there's nobody in here that can put a pair of shoes on and walk across the lake down here. None of us are Jesus. None of us are perfect. We're all sinners. But sometimes we forget that we all live different lives. I always try to focus on Paul. When I look back at Paul, and you think about Paul being the Pharisee of Pharisee, chief of all sinners, he said. Well, today, in today's world, if we had a Pharisee in here, that's exactly the way we want to see him, as a Pharisee. Well, the way we should be seeing that individual is a person that's going through trials and tribulations that needs God's mercy. But look what God did with Paul. Look how he took Paul and used him to the Gentiles. Folks, he could not have been what he was if he hadn't have gone through all the things that he'd gone through in his previous experience before he was saved. You understand it's the same way with us? Every one of us, God has things in front of us that we go through, trials that we go through. We go through certain things, and it builds character in each individual. Well, so many times today, we shoot down other Christians, not knowing how much it really hurts them inside. You know, there's a lot of people who leave the ministry, not because of what the world said. See, we already know the world's a wicked place. But they leave the ministry because of what another Christian said. Yeah. Folks, that's sad. Yeah. But that's because we're not where we need to be. Yeah. See, if our minds, we're supposed to be seeking what? The mind of Christ. And if our minds was in the right place and we were seeking the things of God and we were living daily that Christian life, then that would have never happened. It would have never come to. I remember one time, a little something happened down here, and the preacher told me, he said, act, not react. Folks, that's good wisdom. Yeah. You know, me growing up the way I did, I mean, hey, you took a hold to the problem right there. Sometimes that's not the best way to be. Sometimes you need to find out everything that's going on. So you act on a situation instead of reacting to a situation. And that's where we need to be as Christians. So with all that being said, I just wanted to point out to you that I was not trying to be hard on anybody. I was not trying to come down on anybody. I was just trying to let you know that I feel for you. I don't want you to make the mistakes that I've made. I've seen it with my eyes. I've lived it. I've been through it. And I see things happening and going on. And I know Pastor Carter has, for years, has been up here in this pulpit, and all the things that he's dealt with. I know it breaks his heart. Especially when you teach and you teach and you preach and you preach. And sometimes it's just like it's bouncing off a steel wall. It's like it don't sink in. And that's not good. Remember last week I said, he said one time he wished you could just open your head and pour it in. I still wish you could. Just pour it right in there, because I'd love to have all of it I could get. Bible tells us in 2 Peter 3 verse 1, it says, "This epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." That's what I was trying to do last week. Remind us. Folks, I know I'm talking to the choir here. But this is the cream of the crop. I know that. Trust me, I know that. Many, many, many men in here have shown me a lot of grace. And I thank each and every one of you dearly. Because without that grace, I wouldn't be here today. But folks, we got to be reminded constantly. And let me just give you little examples. We'll say, no, we don't. We don't need you to remind us. Yes, you do. We're stubborn as individuals. I'll give you a good example. You see me hobbling around here sometimes. My hip hurts so bad I can't hardly climb the steps up here. Brother Morgan, give me some dirt. I'm serious. Dirt. Real dirt out of the ground. And told me that if I eat that dirt, it'd make my hip feel better. Maybe. So I took that dirt home, and I did what he told me. Put a spoonful in some water. I'd use chocolate milk now. But I mixed it up. Then I prayed before I drank it. Because I asked myself, now, do you think Brother Morgan was serious? Or he just wants to see this fool go home and eat his dirt? Well, let me tell you, when you're hurting bad enough, you go home and eat the dirt, okay? Well, I did that for about 4 days. And after 4 days, my hip quit hurting 100%. It felt so good. Of course, you know, I wanted to play the fool and go out and climb ladders and do the things you're not supposed to do and irritate it and got it hurting again. But this is what I do even now. It gets to feeling really, really good. So what do? You quit eating the dirt. What's the point? You're not hurting anymore. So you stop eating the dirt. Well, last Friday night, I didn't sleep all night. Why? I had a little reminder that my hip needed some attention. So I went back to eating my dirt yesterday. So it still hurt. Now, last Wednesday night, I didn't know if I was going to be able to come down here and stand here. My hip hurt so bad when I got here, I had to sit down over there. I couldn't stand up. But when I got down here, it never hurt again, but praise God. And tonight it was the same way. It was hurting me, but it's not hurting one bit right now. Praise God. Amen. Give God the glory for all that. But see, I got to be reminded to take that dirt. Now, why are we like that? I don't know, but we are. But we're the same way in our Christian living. We get so wrapped up in the things that we're doing. We get wrapped up in our bills, in our homes, and raising our children. And if you're a school teacher, you're like pulling your hair out. And you forget all these things that we're supposed to be doing scripturally. And we slowly get off track. And we need to be reminded. That's the reason I always loved Pastor Carter's preaching. But when he cranked down on chucking the corn, and he gets stomping all over your toes. Why? Because I needed to be reminded. I know I'm a sinner saved by grace, but it never hurts to be reminded. Amen. And the more I was reminded, the better I liked it, because it helped me to live a little better every day. Right. You hear the preaching, and if it was only for a day or two, until you go astray again, until you start getting in the Word. Now, what I want to do, I want to go back to Genesis. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. We was there last week. And I just want to show you something. And I'm just reminding you. I know that. But it's nice to be reminded sometimes. So if you go to chapter 1, Just look at the very first verse. In the beginning, what does it say? God. God created. And then going down to chapter 3, it says, or not chapter 3, I'm sorry, verse 3. Wear your Bible out. It says, and God said. And then look at verse 4. God divided. In verse 5, God called. Now I'm going somewhere with this. Verse 6, God said. That goes on all the way down through, right on down through the chapter, till you get over to the end of the chapter. Now look at chapter 2 and look at verse 4. It says, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that who? What's that say? The Lord God. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. The Lord God. You do know that's Jesus. Jesus is God. So when we think about creation, everybody talks about God. It tells us right here in Genesis, the beginning of the Bible, that the Lord God. And I'm going to show you that's Jesus. Go to Revelation chapter 19. If you was in the Sunday school class a few weeks ago, I said something about Pastor Carter finishing up Revelations. And I said that if he was to start right back over at verse 1, he would be perfectly fine with me. Amen. And I meant that. Amen. Because I have heard him teach Revelations at least 5 times. I've heard it in church twice, and in college once, and at home a couple of times because I have it on tape. And I listen to it. And every time he teaches it, I learn something else. And your mind is refreshed. And it's such a key to the rest of the Bible. I mean, it just opens your mind to God's Word. And I said to you last week that you, when you read, you maybe you don't understand everything. It doesn't matter. You just read it. You just continue to put it in your mind. So look at chapter 19. Look at verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him called faithful and true. And in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written which no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, capital W. That's my Jesus. That's my Jesus. And if you look down at verse 16, and he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, Lord and Lord of Lords, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's my Jesus, the Lord God. So if you notice, when we started off in Genesis, we find Jesus. We go all the way through the last book of the Bible, and we find Jesus. Amen. Now think about something. If we had just stopped and never bothered to read, if you'd have picked up and read Genesis, maybe another book or two and quit, you'd have never got over here to Revelations, where you can see that the Lord God is the Lord Jesus. Now, I know there's other verses in John and whatnot that talks about God and Jesus being one. But right here, it's so plain, it's so simple to you. Remember I told you my granddaughter looked up at me and she was looking at the clouds. It was a perfectly clear day and God began to form a cloud right in front of us. And she said, look, Papa, God's painting. Do you see how God paints a picture for us in his Word? See, if we'd have just stopped reading, we'd have never got that picture. That's why it's so important that we just read. Just open God's Word and read. The Holy Spirit will do the teaching. And sometimes it may take months, weeks, years. Does it really matter? If it takes 5 years for you to accomplish and begin to learn, that's 5 years that you would have wasted. At least this way, it might have took 5 years, but you've got 5 years of study time in. And when God begins to draw that picture, he'll begin to draw pictures all over the place. He'll start connecting dots everywhere. Man, when I started, can you imagine what it was like for me when I went back to college? I was 47 years old. 47 years old. I hated school the first time around. I did. I hated, there's nobody on planet Earth that hated school more than me. I didn't skip school because I was scared to. My daddy was still at home. But I hated school. I had a teacher. I believe it was third grade. Second or third grade. And I can't remember her name, but I can see her face. And right now, there's probably flames around it. Amen? But she played every day Jesus Christ Superstar. Now, I want you to know something. I was in third grade. I was not saved at that time. I had never been to a church at that time. But I hated it. I couldn't stand it. It broke my heart every day to listen to that. I knew as a child, I knew that it was wrong. That's the Spirit of God that lives in you. But see, she was training children at that time to be Antichrist. I don't know if you've ever heard the song, but it's a horrible song. And I hated school from that day forward. The rest of my school days, I hated them. I hated to go. I only went because I didn't have an option. I hated it. I can honestly say when I got to college, I loved it. I enjoyed the years. It took me 5 years to get three in, but I got them in there, amen, or four. But I got them in there. But I literally enjoyed it, every minute of it. And God took care of all the finances. And every time I read this book, Trophy of Grace, I think about that preacher. God just takes care of everything if you allow him to. And we got a pastor that lives a surrendered life. He surrendered everything to God. And look what God has done with that. How many countless souls around the globe has been saved because pastor surrendered his life to a holy God? How many more souls can be saved if we was to surrender our lives to our God the way Pastor Carter has? Folks, we don't have to be preachers. You don't have to be teachers. But just to surrender your life to a holy God and do all that you can do with your family. You don't know what God's going to do with your children. You don't know where he's going to be. You don't know what's going to happen 10 years down the road. See, I look back at all the things that I went through in my lifetime, and I see how God put me here. See, I lost my sister when I was 13 years old. My sister was 15, and she was killed in a butchering accident. We was butchering hogs, and she died. My father was so angry with God, I think he went back to church one day in his entire life. But you know why that was? You know, he was angry at God. Thank God he was saved. But he couldn't understand how a holy God would take his little girl. But see, we as parents, and he in his situation, being saved, but not being a Christian, he lacked the knowledge to understand that these children aren't ours. They belong to God. He allows us to borrow them. So enjoy them while you have them. You never know what tomorrow brings. But with the right conscience, when we are living godly, when those things come into our lives, we know how to handle them and deal with them. So with that situation, I forgot where I was going with it now, but with that situation being said, go to the book of Acts, chapter 12. I want to read something to you here. You know the story here. We looked at this in Sunday school a few weeks back. We just touched bases on it. But Peter was in prison. You know the story. how the angels freed him. God set him free. The church was together. Matter of fact, I think Pastor Carter preached on this a few months back. But Peter was being held in prison, and the church was praying for him. And look at verse 5 in chapter 12. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So in other words, he was in prison. The church is praying constantly. They're praying continuously. Now go over to verse 11. No, let's go on down. Verse 13. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she heard Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. Now, wait a minute now. Check that out. Now, get this. Get the picture. You know the story, so get it in your mind. Now, the whole church, the whole congregation is praying. They're all gathered together like we are tonight. And they're praying for Peter constantly. And then Peter knocks on the door. Rhoda answers the door, and she said, it's Peter. And they say, you're mad. Wait a minute. Why were they all gathered together praying for Peter? Think about that. Folks, that's the way we live our lives today. I lived my life like that for years. We claim to be a Christian. We're just going through the motions, but we're living a defeated life. Folks, these people were praying and never really believed that God would answer that prayer. Folks, that's why the church doesn't have the power today that it once had. The church is made up of us, the people collectively. Folks, but when we pray, we don't believe our prayers. Folks, you got to believe. Do you believe the Word of God? Do you believe the Bible? See, we say we believe, but think about something. Where does your salvation come from? Faith. The Bible says we do what? We believe in our hearts. Then we confess with our tongue. So what we're saying is that we believe that God can save us, but we didn't believe that God could save Peter. Do you understand we do the same thing today when we pray that way? We're doing the same things. Why can't we pray as a group? When we pull the prayer list up, and we pray for people. And if you read some of Pastor Carter's book and some of the stories he's told you and whatnot, you'll see the power of God's grace. Folks, there's power in prayer. We've seen prayer after prayer after prayer answered right here in this church. Folks, prayer can open any door. Prayer can save any life. It's a matter of what we believe as individuals. Way back when my son was, about 12 years, 13 years old, he was playing basketball here at Landmark, and they had to have their little physical, and they turned him down. And I was kind of in unbelief. I'm like, what? What do you mean? What's going on? And they said he had a heart condition. At first, we heard about it. So we took him to a heart specialist, and sure enough, they said he had a hole in his heart. And they said that he could not play ball because he could fall over dead. That had to be fixed. And they took pictures of it and showed us the picture of the heart with a hole in it over in Tampa. And we came back here. I don't know if you remember that or not, preacher, but church prayed for my son. We went back a few days later, 10 days or whatever it was, and they redid the test. Doctor comes out. He says, Mr. Perkins, he says, I don't understand. He said, I don't know what's going on, but your son's heart is 100% fine. And I said, praise God, I know what's going on. You know, God answers prayer, people. And it doesn't matter what we're praying for. You know, God, you know, we don't have to pray for great big things all the time. I pray for little things. I pray for the ability to get up tomorrow and do what I need to do. Amen. And I pray for my family. Amen. I pray that I can be a better husband. My wife says it hadn't been working. But I told her it's her lack of faith. We need to have faith in our God. We have a mighty God. And I just wanted to show you a little thing tonight, how we can take, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but just by studying God's word, little things that we find in the Bible. I don't know about you, but when I find little things, like little nuggets like that, like going from Genesis to Revelations, and no matter where you look, you see Jesus. It's a godly book. It's a live book. Folks, it's up to us to read it, put it into our hearts, into our minds. I don't know about you, but the best times I have is my study times. You know, my wife, I'll wait till she goes to bed, and I'll turn my television, I'll leave it on, because we used to the light being on. I turn the volume down, and I go in there and I just read. And sometimes I'm going to bed at 4:35, she's getting up. She said, why are you just now going to bed? What? I have my study time. Folks, there's nothing better than getting little nuggets out of God's word right here. But it'll help you in every walk of life. But folks, take it serious. It's got to mean something to you. You're the one that's got to get into the word and dig. You can sit here and listen to me talk all day. You can listen to the pastor talk. You can listen to Dr. Carter. You can listen to anybody you want to. But until you get in the word and make it real to you, that's when you begin to grow. You know, Dr. Pitts used to give us, Dr. Pitts gives a lot. Boy, you was mean in school. I never realized that. Hey, man. He still is. He'd give you like 500 essays you had to write, you know, in 6 weeks. You know what I mean? It wasn't that bad, but he'd give you a lot of essays. And you know what? I think I enjoyed those more than anything, because the study time that you got to put into it to write the paper, you learn so much from that. I mean, I just loved it. Every day, I look forward to going back and looking up whatever it was we had to write on that week. And I learned so much from that, and it sticks. When you learn it yourself, it sticks. You hear it preaching. I know some people have a memory that's, you know, forever, like an elephant, remember everything. Mine's not like that. I can teach it and can't remember what I taught yesterday. You know what I'm saying? So I got to constantly read. But when I get in there and get it for myself, it sticks a little bit longer. But I still like to go back and grab one of these books and remind myself, stir up that old memory, get it stirring again, get those juices flowing again. Remember what God has given us. We're out of time. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for your many blessings. Father, I do thank you for Dr. Carter and all he's been in my life and the life of many others. And Father, as we leave here tonight, I just pray, Lord, that you'll take your word, Father. Let us carry it with us. Let us meditate upon it. Allow us to apply it to our lives, Lord, that we can be better Christians and better servants for you. We love you and we praise you for it. In Christ's name, amen. Choir practice.